WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
I remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Man, no words. No words. What we just witnessed. Anyway, this is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the producer, Sir Rocket, joined as always by the one known as Keishi Matsunaga.
I mean, he was red and blue and black and purple all over.
I read one tweet saying something to the effect of, I expected Cody to get color, but not that color.
Nice. He matched his tights, kind of. You know, you mix the two colors of the tights together, and you get his chest.
Yeah, you get that. Yeah, you do. We have the intern, Kane Kittens.
No, Keishi, you don't mix those colors, because there are colors that have not been defined yet that are part of that, for God's sake.
I mean, I've experienced most of those colors on my person at one point or another due to professional wrestling.
Yes,
not as terrible of an injury, though.
I was going to say, with as much coverage as he's had as well?
If you count, if you replace, like, his chest with my, like, lower arm, then yes.
Okay. Dear God.
It was a lot, though.
That was just like, you could see it peeking out the coat, and then he took the coat off, and you just heard everyone. Oh,
yeah, I didn't expect it to be that all encompassing of his body.
We're gonna get right to it. We introduce the one and only Tim Stein.
That looked painful and problematic.
It did.
And yeah, no, I'm not going to make any potentially offensive jokes. Don't worry about the 7-second delay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hell in a Cell recap edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us.
So we're here to talk Hell in a Cell.
Oh, I'd rather talk about car accidents.
No, we're here to talk about Hell in a Cell. And
I'm fine, thank you.
We're all happy that you're fine, Tim. If you weren't, well, then there'd be issues. Anyway, talk about Hell in a Cell tonight and what we just witnessed. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, your main event. Cody Rhodes has a torn pec, and you could tell. It's off the bone.
Really?
It was torn off the bone.
Well, it initially started as a partial tear.
That's
on Monday.
That's what they're saying.
And then a full tear while weightlifting. Dear God.
It's the price of gains.
Yeah, look, we all know Cody wants to be Triple H, but he doesn't need to go that far, okay? You can scale it back just a bit.
I mean, he's trying to be Triple H in all the ways, including hit the pedigree that blew the roof off the place.
Oh, yeah. They've hinted at that for a while, and you knew the second mm-hmm. he actually hit that move, people would go nuts. And they decided to save it for Chicago, the markiest town of all, to do it in.
Well, yeah, you do it in the blow-off match, which was...
Not just a blow-off match, in that place!
Oh, I know. But then Seth Rollins, before it even starts, is the biggest troll in the world.
Oh, boy.
Well, you knew something was up because he had that coat especially pinched closed tonight.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, wait, what does he have? And then he took it off and you saw the polka dots and you're like, you asshole.
I mean, that's not what I thought. But yeah.
But it was a great, like, if you're going to get into the head of Cody, what do you do? Yeah, you pull out that, and you have it be, like, the first sight he sees when he comes to the ring, and it's just like, you son of a bitch, you're gonna pay.
Nice little cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
To the adding insult to actual injury.
Boom, boom.
Yeah!
And the fact they went 20-something minutes.
With a one-armed man.
Well, could they not have called an audible sometime during the week, and, like,
happened Friday.
Taking Cody out of the match?
They did. On Saturday, they put Drew in.
At the house show, yeah.
That was the audible. Was,
yeah, at the house show.
We're going to get one match out of Cody. Let's make it Sunday. Drew, you're in tonight. Have fun.
I don't think Cody would have let them pull him from it.
No, he would have like walked out there whether they wanted him to or not.
Drew would have started walking out. Cody would have come out in sweatpants and just been, like, pulling the cage door closed.
Because this is his big moment. This was his first real main event in WWE.
And he looked like a main eventer by the end of the night.
Yep.
Like, he, come hell or high water, he was going to do this match. No matter what it took. And boy, it took a lot, because he, yeah.
Yeah, how much further back do you think that match puts his recovery time?
I don't think it puts it back. I think once it's torn, I don't think it would have done any more damage.
Yeah, once it's off, it's just they've got to do the surgery to reattach.
Yeah, so... no, the damage done was all the damage that could be done.
It's the pain tolerance at that point. That thing was just, yeah. Him using the cane to just sort of like push into it. Like, ooh.
Oof. You know what, though? Also, kudos for Seth for you know, helping carry that match as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I said it in chat during the match. I was paying really close attention to how gingerly Seth would be treating Cody's right side. And I did notice, it wasn't overly noticeable for the whole match, but I did notice a few times that he was barely touching him.
Now,
so
I just want to highlight the timing of when you said that corresponded to when Seth laid the first really stiff weight belt shot to the right side, or to that side. It was just like, look how gingerly, smack! And I just wanted to be like, about that.
Past tense.
Yeah.
Look how gingerly he was being.
Yeah, timing is everything, kids.
We had table spots, we had Singapore canes, we had a bull
they
rope.
Finally got the table.
They finally got the table, and like for everyone, thank you, Rollins, for the table.
Two tables, mm-hmm. ultimately.
But yeah, we had the callback to the bull rope because you know you can't have a Rhodes match and it being hardcore without the bull rope involved.
I just
love Cody screaming, "Put it on!" And you have Seth staring at him for a minute, and then like, "All right,
yeah,
all right, let's do this." And then 2 minutes later, nope. I've learned my lesson.
All in all, they put on a hell of a match.
Yeah, that was like everything you want out of a Hell in a Cell that like makes it a good Hell in a Cell match. Nothing too like gimmicky, nothing quirky. Nobody got buried under a bunch of stuff. It all went very, very well.
And I just want to say, this is proof, and I know some people may not like this take, but I'll say it anyway. this is proof you don't need color in a Hell in a Cell match for it to look brutal as hell.
Well, because anyway, no, you don't. You got color, but not that color. Well, you did have some blood.
Well, I mean, yeah, you did have blood. It was just under the skin.
No,
someone got hard weighed for sure.
Seth, I think, got it on the arm.
Yeah, but yeah, you just, it was violent, mainly because of the injury. Every move you went, sure, we could do this, but it told a story as well with the bull rope, the pedigree, the sledgehammer, everything in this match.
The small little nod with the toolbox, whether it was intentional or not.
Mm-hmm. But it was a nice closing moment for the story they were telling.
Yeah.
And Cody going out there, still winning the match, was the story they wanted to tell, and it makes sense because they want to keep him strong, even though he's probably gone for the next 6 months.
Yeah, but now he can come back and he can talk about how he won a Hell in a Cell match with a torn freaking pec.
Yeah, it also adds more legitimacy or credibility to him if you do steer him towards, you know, the head of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, it's like, Cody, sure, you wanted to turn him that way, and it's like, okay, but this is one of those things, like, you can't say I didn't earn this. Like, I gave everything, literally my entire body,
yeah,
to get to this point.
It'll be interesting to see what they do to follow up on it on Raw, what kind of promo they let Cody do, because you know he's probably going to cut one.
Well, he's got to come out and say how long he's going to be out for.
Yeah, I would give a high estimate, go 6 to 9 months.
Oh, yeah.
Just that way, if he comes back quicker, say in 6 months, 6.5 months for the Rumble, it's a surprise when he says, I'm out for 9 months.
Under promise, over deliver.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to miss WrestleMania, that type of thing.
Yeah, because also it's, I mean, someone made a reference to it earlier. If you want to, if he comes back earlier than that, it adds to the mystique a la, you know, John, when he was out with the, what was it, the torn bicep, and they predicted, you know, like 6 to 9 months, and it was only like 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one of those things, like, when you saw it from the outside, you're like, holy shit. And then he came back to win the Rumble, and it added to the whole story and mystique. The same thing can happen with Cody, in a sense of like, yeah, if you over deliver of like, it's going to be 9 months, but I'm going to come raring back. And then all of a sudden he shows up at Rumble, or he, you know, makes an appearance in mid to late December on Raw. You go, whoa, you know, that's heart. And all of a sudden it adds to the whole, you know, American Nightmare and, you know, he is a Rhodes.
Yeah.
Tendencies.
After the show, he told the crowd he would talk about his injury more tomorrow and thank the audience. He apologized for being hurt, said he wanted to make sure everyone knew that he made the decision to work the match, and no one made him do it. He was not going to prevent him from reaching his goal. Nothing's going to prevent him from reaching his goal of becoming WWE champion.
Yeah, I saw that at the very end of the match when he got up on the turnbuckle, he mouthed, thank you, I'm sorry, thank you. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Will that be the new, like, I'm sorry, I love you?
Yeah.
Thank you, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that was the main event. Other things that happened on that show included a U.S. title match between Theory and Mustafa Ali.
Thoughts? Ooh, big pop for Ali, man.
Hometown boy.
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. They put on a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. Good, solid match. People are like, oh my God, they buried him in his hometown. Oh my God, I can't believe they did the thing. Oh my God. Oh my God, he lost in his hometown.
How did they bury him?
I was going to say, how did they bury him when he looked damn good? And after this match, if you were like, we should probably try to feature Ali maybe a little more, I'd be like, hell yes, find something for him.
Just because he ate a pin doesn't mean you bury a guy.
Right, that's my point.
Otherwise, oh boy, I'd be like 50 feet underground, kids.
Well, and they did a good job, you know, it wasn't a full burial because they told the story of, yeah, Ali had the hurt leg. And the finish came down to Theory exploiting it with the chop block.
100%.
So it's not burying him. It's, okay, yeah, the heel exploited the injury. And if Ali comes out tomorrow and faces Ciampa and puts on another, you know, good 10, you know, like 7-10 minute match, guess what? It's not buried. He's getting time.
Look, the tweet I saw was buried and humiliated in his hometown.
oh, Jesus Christ.
And that's a narrative that's going to spread, but it's like, no, it's not. He wasn't.
Taking a loss isn't always getting buried.
Yep.
People went on, but it was his hometown. I can't believe it.
That's right.
Humiliated. Humiliated is having to compete in a bra and panties match.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Rock, is that your Chicago accent?
No, it's just internet fan. Oh my god.
Oh, that's your internet fan accent. Okay. And you give me shit.
I'm not saying it's good. It's just what people sound like on the internet.
You've got to sound like the glasses have fallen down your nose and then you push them back up. That's what IWC fan sounds like.
Actually.
Excuse me, actually, he got buried.
That's not just IWC. That's just I.
Worst gimmick ever.
Worst
booking ever.
Austin Theory came out on top with his title. Right outcome?
For now, yes, because you're still building Theory. And he still has, you know, the McMahon rub.
Mm-hmm.
So for this, as much as it would be a great thing to put the belt on Ali in Chicago, if they did that, you know what it would have been? It would have been Zack Ryder winning at WrestleMania. And then the very next night, guess what happens on Raw? Belt goes back onto Theory. He needs the belt right now to help kind of build him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How often does a wrestler lose in his hometown?
In WWE, quite often.
Almost every freaking time.
Yeah. But AEW always puts the hometown bully 9 times out of 10 over, so that's why people go get mad about the hometown thing. It's win or losing wherever it is, doesn't matter.
The home team doesn't always win. Okay? In sports, in wrestling, in whatever. The home team doesn't always win.
So, there was that. We also had Happy Corbin and Madcap.
That was a thing.
There's no more Moss. There's no more Moss.
It
wasn't bad. They called back to the injury spot where Madcap got the same Pillman thing, and that took him out like 3 weeks. I remember when that took people out for months.
Hey, on the plus side, he lost the suspenders and belt combination.
Now he just has generic gear.
Now he's just create a wrestler.
Yeah.
Before, at least he was different. Now he is just WWE 2K22.
Yep. Makes me wonder how long until he becomes not as profiled as he is.
It depends, honestly, if he gets cheered. If there's not a lot of reaction and he has to try and do the come on to people like he was tonight, it may be rough.
So yeah, I mean, he's got good intensity.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, like, where do they go with him after soundly defeating Corbin like that? That's the first thing that I thought of, like, after that match. I was like, well, it wasn't terrible, but now what are they going to do with him?
Hey, Rock,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned something last night with NXT.
Okay.
About trying to connect with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need a reason to kind of care about someone moving forward. You want to see them do something.
Yeah.
That fully applies to Madcap Moss.
They gotta give me a reason to care.
Right. We don't know anything about him. He was a goofy joke guy with Corbin. He was a sidekick. Then he got kicked to the curb. In that time frame, he also won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, so good on him for that. But personality-wise, I know nothing about him. I have no reason to care about him right now. And that's what they need to start doing.
Is he a challenger for the Intercontinental Championship?
Mm. Right now, after just beating Baron Corbin, no.
Then what do you do with him?
If you give him about a month or two to build up some wins and
give us a reason.
Right, give us a reason, then sure. He could totally compete for the secondary title. But right now, if it was just he beat Baron Corbin and guess what, he's going after the IC title, I'd be like, why? Like, Corbin is not, that's not a benchmark where you're like, yep, you are IC title worthy now.
Then we'll see what they do. Imagine him in Money in the Bank.
He could take a spot or two. I don't see him at the very end of the night with a briefcase, but I could see him, you know, doing something stupid with a ladder.
Yeah.
Or putting someone through a ladder very stupidly.
We also had
the ladder.
Mm-hmm. We also had Judgment Day taking on AJ Styles and Morgan and Finn Balor. This was pretty good.
Yeah. I think the right team won to further that narrative of Judgment Day. I don't know what they do with, if they continue doing anything with Styles and Balor and Morgan anymore.
I think you still have the Edge Balor one-on-one match.
Yeah.
That you can go with.
This match was really off-putting to me for one reason.
Hmm.
And it's a nonsensical thing, but I just have to say it. Give Rhea her pants back.
Okay. No, I can explain this to you. Her gear never arrived.
Okay. That's fine. I understand that. We saw her having to go to a house show once wearing Damian Priest's stuff.
Yeah.
And it looked like the little sister borrowing the big brother's gear.
Yeah. Which would have, I mean, it still would have worked here. But yeah. maybe Priest only had the one pair of pants this time.
He may have only had the one pair of pants.
But when she came out with, like, shorts, it completely threw me off. Because I was like, wait, purple top?
Yeah, she tweeted after the show, her gear didn't arrive.
Okay. She has the worst luck with her gear and traveling, it seems.
She's got to start putting it in her carry-on.
Yeah. Or put it on the truck and let it go to the next place.
No, something like that would, like, I would try and get it done, like, as soon as possible, and it would go in my carry-on bag.
Apparently it didn't. So, here we are.
But all in all, I mean, it was a good match. You had, you know, Finn and AJ, good workers. You had Edge working his typical style. It was very, you know, methodical. It's interesting that they're now referring to, was it Damian as the punishment?
Yeah, that was a nice little touch.
Yeah, they were doing that. They've done that for a while.
And I can't remember, what's Rhea's a title now?
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't remember. Lindsay made a point. She'll set off the airport security with all the spikes and chains. That's a valid point.
You just wear it and get wanded. That's all.
I mean, the spiky vest, if that doesn't go on your carry-on, that's fine. Because it's just, that's entrance gear. But like, yeah, well, I don't know if there are any spikes on the pants. Would the chain set it off? Yes. Would they have to take it out of the bag and look at it? Yes. But it can't be any different when someone goes to the airport with a title belt in their carry-on and they open it up.
I was going to say, TSA is probably sitting there like, this is not the weirdest thing to come through here today.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Especially in the States.
But, hey, wait, what are you saying about us? Huh?
No, I'm saying that up here in Canada, we're not as cool.
Not as cool. Okay.
Dude.
Was not expecting it to be that direction.
When it comes to, like, weird shit in carry-on luggage. Because some things are already, like, we can't even get it in the country, let alone move it around in an airport.
Oh, okay.
Canada is just so vanilla.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, safe, depending on how you look at it.
Oatmeal.
Canada is the caring country.
Anyway, Judgment Day won this match. Kevin Owens, Ezekiel.
I love this feud so much.
Yeah.
It is so stupid.
But in the best way.
It's something where if someone came to you and said, we're going to do a gimmick where some guy is going to pretend to be his, you know, brother, and the other dude is going to go insane trying to prove it. On paper, you look at that and go, you're fucking crazy. No, we're not going to do this. But then you actually see it on TV and you're like, this is some entertaining shit. Because Kevin Owens is selling the goddamn hell out of it.
Yeah. This is like some of my favorite type of like wrestling stuff where the in between the matches stuff is like comedy and hilarious. And then a little bit transfers over to the match, but it's still like wrestling.
No, they're absolutely excellent skits.
Yeah.
And I mean, the match itself, not bad.
Nope. It was fine.
Well, I mean, it's even though Ezekiel is new and this is Ezekiel's first premium live event, if you believe Kevin Owens, this is not his first match.
Hold on.
Let's put it that way.
Looks like a seasoned pro.
He spent a lot of time studying his older brother Elias's stuff. And maybe they practiced a lot together, so when Ezekiel finally got his chance in the WWE, it didn't take him long to acclimate with how to wrestle properly.
Yeah, he threw that rising knee like he's done it before. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I like the reason that he gave on Raw Talk. It was basically like, you know, he is the reason why he passed the lie detector test because, you know,
I saw that. It was so good.
What was it? It was
maybe he is Ezekiel and Elias was his older brother, but something happened to him and he like died or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so he became Elias as a tribute, and then he went away and became Ezekiel again. That's how he passed the lie detector test. And then the two interviewers put their fingers up to their ears where there's no like little microphone, be like, oh, we're getting the notice, we're out of time.
We gotta
we're
go
out of time.
Back to the studio. Yeah.
Well, my favorite part, and you highlighted this on the Rack Rock, wasn't just the initial. It's that it carried over into Becky Lynch's interview later, and Becky went with it.
Yeah. Oh, what are you doing over there? I guess I'm sulking because they did, and just goes right back into just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You don't track.
That
and
totally
just, like,
makes sense.
Makes sense.
Dear God.
Completely tracks.
Kevin would win this match, and maybe we'll finally get an answer to the question tomorrow. We'll see.
I hope not.
Let this be something that's simmering under Kevin Owens the entire time. Mm-hmm. Just let Ezekiel go off and do his own thing, and then just 5 months later, Kevin just walks by and looks and just like, God damn it, and just keeps going away.
Well, and the funny thing is, just because he beat him doesn't prove anything.
It doesn't prove
right,
anything.
So he'd be like, I beat you, admit it. Be like, and then he could just be like, you're right, okay? I will admit, I am not as good of a wrestler as my older brother Elias. Which is why you beat me. It was my first premium live event. I was really nervous, and you got the better of me, Kevin.
I will admit, you beat a guy who's only been here a few months. And just
they
like,
better do that
son
tomorrow.
Of a bitch!
They had better do that tomorrow.
And something we don't need to see again is Lashley and almost an MVP.
Oh, God. Please, for the love of God, end this.
It's got to be over. He won.
No. No, it can't. He still has to fight MVP one-on-one.
Oh.
No. Lashley did the belt movement. He grabbed the referee was telling him to grab the guy's belt from the crowd and show it. He's moving on. It's over.
You still have Rawls. You can do MVP
Rock,
and Lashley.
Shut up.
That has to be a match.
I will give them one more night for Lashley to beat up MVP.
Don't you entertain his notion, Keiji?
Hey,
I'm
okay with it if Lashley gets his hand on MVP and beats his ass, then I'm okay with it.
No,
but
if it
forwards any sort of, I mean, it's I hope it doesn't, but
no, because MVP would then win thanks to almost his interference, and you got to do it again.
No, it's not going to happen. We saw what's going to happen tonight. What's going to end up happening is Bobby Lashley is going to fight MVP. Someone is going to come out and stick his nose into the match when he shouldn't, and that's who you're going to get the next match of Bobby with. He's going to destroy Cedric Alexander.
We've seen it. It's happened. It's already done.
I know, but they're either that or Cedric's actually going to get something to do. Who knows?
It's going to wind up being a tag match. Cedric and Bobby taking on Omos and MVP.
I still don't want to see that.
That's why it's going to happen. Nobody wants it.
Anyway, this just in from the studio. Breaking. Following the No Holds Barred match at Hell in a Cell, Baron Corbin was evaluated at a local medical facility and was released with a minor neck contusion.
Wait. He had a chair wrapped around his neck with steel step dropped on it. And it's a mild contusion?
Minor. Minor
neck. I don't care what fucking adjective they put in front of it. That man needs to be in traction for 3 weeks to sell.
Oh, no,
because he'll come out with like a neck brace for the next 3 months.
Yeah.
Talking about how his career is probably over and Madcap is not a safe wrestler, yada yada yada.
Anyway, officially.
# blame Brent.
There you go.
You forgot that for Cody earlier.
Well, we're not we'll do that Thursday.
I demand another one.
Nope. Thursday. Tune in. 10 p.m. Eastern. You'll get it.
You asshole.
All right, let's talk about something good. The opener. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Asuka, Triple Threat for Raw Women's title. Go.
I want more of this.
You know, when I saw this match, I'm thinking they must have really high hopes for the rest of the card to start the pay-per-view with this.
Well, considering the fact that they started with this, they ended with Cody. Yeah, this card delivered, and the opening match God damn.
Oh, man, it was so good.
You started to see, they all started to break out some new things, which was really kind of nice to see. Also, what the fuck was Becky wearing on her head?
The headgear equivalent to those weird-ass glasses she was wearing before.
I do have to admit, when she has the short hair and she slicks it back, she looks like a badass.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I liked the hard-hitting aspect. I liked that Becky initially was trying to be, like, instigating, and then they just chucked her ass out of the ring. It was just like, nope! And then you got that look from Asuka and Bianca kind of like, ooh, we can have some fun with each other here.
Yep.
And they did.
Yeah, they did. They did a lot of cool, they did a lot of cool things that encompassed all three people. It wasn't just like a constant one person goes out and then two people go and then a third person comes back and they either get tossed out or someone gets tossed out right away. They did a really good job of like doing a lot of things that incorporated all three people. I liked that they went for that like typical triple threat in the corner spot with the suplex powerbomb deal, but they're like, ah. Nope, we're not actually doing it. I thought that was good because, boy, that gets used a lot. So it was nice to see a little bit of a difference there.
I liked the Bianca stacking Becky and Asuka in the corner for the 10 punches.
Yes, that was good.
But it was like, okay, I'm going to start doing this. And then Becky comes along. And it's just like, nope, you get in here too.
Yeah, I mean, everybody got their own little thing in there that they got to do from start to finish. The match was awesome.
No one comes out of it hurt, because it's like even though Asuka took the pin, it's like, you know, Becky hit her with the manhandle slam. Becky, you know, quote unquote, got screwed because Bianca just chucked her ass out of the ring and got the pin.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that Becky can gripe about. But at the same time, you can also be like, if you put it on the back burner, it's not going to hurt anything.
Nope.
So.
Well, and Asuka, like, it wasn't like she laid there for a long time. She took a couple of moves and then was the pin.
Yeah.
But that said, how many times have you ever seen a triple threat match that became a burial of one? Really?
I don't know.
I mean, there's been times that you've seen a triple threat and you're like, that person's in there to eat the pin.
100%. This was not one of those, though.
That's a totally different story. I mean, you see those ones coming a mile and a half away.
But yeah, you have a couple of avenues that you can go if you want to do this, or if you want to move Bianca on to someone else and keep that kind of Becky or Asuka one-on-one match for, you know, one of the major events. You can absolutely do it with this and kind of have that kind of, and have that back burner feud to get you through like Money in the Bank and whatever else you need.
Yep.
Because they're trying to develop, you know, the Raw roster and show that they've got, you know, a couple of other people that can challenge, which is really good.
Indeed. So Bianca is still your Raw Women's Champion.
Yay.
Overall, pretty good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, the opener was fire. The end, you know, the main event. Holy shit. Kudos to Cody and, you know, bravo Seth for helping deliver. Yeah. And then the matches in the middle did exactly what they needed to. And dear God, please do not pair Omos and Bobby Lashley again, is all I have to say.
Yes, please let that be over. My match of the night tonight definitely was Seth versus Cody. But if Cody wasn't so beat up and literally tearing himself apart to give a great match for the fans. Match of the night might have been the opener instead. But Cody deserves the respect.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
I send you things constantly. How is that? You know, never mind.
What are you guys talking about?
I'll show you guys in a second. Brent, what was your match of the night?
Bitter is what I am right now. Hang on. Match of the night. Emotionally, it's the main, but I'll give it to the opener just because it was on fire throughout the whole thing. Like, I was, yeah, thanks. I was just like, from the second the bell hit till, you know, the hand slapped the mat for the three count, I was invested in that match and I was, you know, I was not let down at all.
Okay. Keishi, match of night was? Corbin and Moss?
No.
My bad. It's Madcap. It's Madcap. There's no more Moss.
It's Kevin Owens versus was it Kevin Patrick?
Yes.
That's your match of the night?
No, that was my match of the week.
Okay.
Yeah, because that didn't happen tonight.
By the way, if you need to go back and read the Twitter exchange from Kevin and Becky about him, it is hilarious.
Oh yeah, because she was just like, I know he's Irish and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm gonna give it to the opener. Yeah, like you said, pace from start to finish was good. The flow of the match was really good. It didn't feel like there wasn't a whole lot of like time to breathe as much as there was in the Hell in a Cell match, which granted, it's a Hell in a Cell match. You should have that because it's Hell in a Cell match. But like, what a way to kick off this premium live event. Doesn't roll off the tongue as well as pay-per-view.
No, but no. 7 matches in 3 hours. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Not 13-4. Anyway.
Oh, God. 5.5, right?
5.5. My bad.
13-5.5.
5.5, yeah. All right, Brent, housekeeping.
All right. So, pick 'em results. We're just going to start at the bottom. In last place, the 8-ball did not get one right.
That's a first.
It went 0-7.
That's never happened before.
Nope.
Or if it has, it's very rare.
Very rare.
I don't remember it ever happening before.
In 8th place, going 3-4, so just under 500, we have The Wheel. And breaking her streak of winning the pick-ems for the past two is Lindsay.
Oh, no.
What happened, Lindsay?
Well, she's more of the AEW expert now, so...
Yeah, she is our new AEW expert analyst, so I'm just waiting
there
for
it. There it is. There it is.
There it is. There it is. Love you, Lindsay. Tied for 3rd place is, let's see, Subway, Brock, and all of WTR. We went 5-2. I would just like to add that WTR had the exact same picks.
Yeah.
Independent of one another.
I realized that around 4 o'clock this afternoon. I'm like, wait, did we all just pick the same matches?
We did. And then in 1st place are 2 of our listeners, Sheila and Tommy, at 6-1.
Congratulations to Tommy and Sheila. You two tie for the winner.
They would have been perfect, but Ezekiel lost. You can blame Elias if you want to.
There were 2 matches I honestly did not expect the outcome. I thought for sure that Almost MVP would have taken out Bobby. And I was positive that they would have pushed Ezekiel for the win.
Well, I mean, everyone on this show thought that, so.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't have picked it that way. Still.
That's our show.
That is it. That's the webcast for tonight, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, tomorrow immediately following Raw is the post show.
All right, so here's how this goes. Raw post show is 11 p.m. Eastern every Monday night. Following that, available on podcast will be the Rack Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs. Season 3, Episode 1. It's 11:30. At midnight, the Rack Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs. Season 3, Episode 2 will be available. It's 2 episodes. So you got there. You also check out the Rack Extra Reviews NXT In Your House, available tomorrow. You check that out because we did that last night. So there you go.
There you are. And of course, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, another episode of the multi-time, multi-award winning Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward, joined by Rock.
We'll review Hell in a Cell news, notes, and more. It's the Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Ask the Rack on 6/23/22. We'll answer anything for 10.
And remember? Rock, anything?
Except politics.
But I can submit questions to Lindsay and you?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember to use the creator code Rock and Sock.
Yeah, but news.
Why? It's called Fortnite with Friends.
Brand new season of Fortnite dropped today. You buy your battle passes, use creator code Rock and Sock. Hashtag Epic Partner.
Do it. And of course, Saturday night's as close to midnight as they can get on either side of the number. Another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Fans of Ultron, CB Radio.
We were actually started at midnight and everyone was there.
Amazing.
Amazing. When you tell at midnight that everyone showed up. It's
what happened last night?
Well, because we had no Fortnite, because Fortnite was down, so we did the In Your House review and then
We had Fortnite a little bit.
Right. So we had some time when, you know, I didn't have enough to go to 12:30, so we started at midnight. So there you go. Check it out. CBRadioLive.com.
There you go. And of course, next Sunday night, another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio at our regularly scheduled time. 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. Join us when we talk about pizza. We're going to be talking wrestling. What the hell do you think? Anyway, stay abreast of all of the news and information that is available through us through social medias, right, Rock?
At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. At WTR Sunday Night on the Facebooks and the Twitters.
Oh, the Twitters. Wow, Brent, you're on the Twitters.
Yes, I am on the Twitters. You can find me on Twitter at Tang Kittens, where I can sometimes have some opinions that may make some friends or, you know, be questionable by others.
Something like that. Casey's got merchandise for sale at RedTube.
You're a dick.
That's not what it is.
The page on RedTube is Tim's a Dick.
It's very small.
Merchandise page where you can find t-shirts, buttons, posters, coasters, mugs is at Redbubble.
Oh, that's it.
You can find the links to that on both my Instagram and my Twitter at Kyle Driver. Hashtag Tim's a Dick.
I'm sorry. If you want to find out how sure I am, I'll tweet it out, and you can read about it if you follow me at Flames Forums. That being said, we're good to go. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com.